We're live.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the study session of the University City Council to order on January 26, 2026. Are there any changes to the regular agenda for the 6:30 session? Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor, Council Members, I would ask to move item K2 to the City Manager's Report.
Thank you very much. Anything else? Otherwise, Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, every other year you authorize staff to survey the community and ask how they rate the services that we provide. Tonight we have a presentation on those services, and I would ask our Deputy City Manager, Chris Crable, to introduce this item. Chris?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Here tonight, we have Ryan Murray from ETC Institute here to present the findings from the 2025 Citizen Satisfaction Survey. We've been working on this the last couple months, and it's nice to have everything summarized here in the presentation tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Thank you, Mr. Crable. Thank you, Mayor and Council. It's a pleasure to be here yet again. I've had the pleasure of doing, I think, all of the city surveys with the ETC Institute, and this year is no different. It's exciting news. There's a lot of good stuff here, and hopefully I'll bring some anecdotal information.
I think you may need to move closer.
Do I need to move closer? Is that better? All right. Thank you so much, Mayor. I appreciate that. All right. So it's a pleasure to be here. A lot of exciting information in the survey report this particular year. And I'll see if I can advance, and it doesn't appear to be advancing. Okay. Great. So for those of you who are unfamiliar, ETC Institute's based in Olathe, Kansas. Just drove in this afternoon. We've been in Olathe the entire time that we've been in business. We do a lot of work in the Kansas City metro area, but as you can see on the screen, we're really the nation's leader in market research for government organizations. We do a lot of work here in the St. Louis County, as well as the area, all the way out to... I just drove by it today. Weldon Spring is kind of one of those further out St. Louis suburban communities that we do as well. But we do this type of community satisfaction work all over the country. And as you'll see when I get to the purpose and methodology slide, which we can go to next, the real purpose and objective of this is to help you all make better decisions, which is really ETC Institute's sole purpose. In terms of the 2025 survey results, the purpose, again, is an objective assessment. We want to help understand how residents perceive and rate then city services in a wide variety of areas. We also want to help track input over time, but also against other communities. And so we've got national and regional benchmarking that we'll use. And then we want to make sure that we're developing priorities for improvement. And that's really embedded or built in or baked into the survey design. And so we'll see some opportunities for improvement. We'll look at the important satisfaction analysis. But please know, even if 100% of respondents were satisfied with everything on the survey, we still would have developed priorities for improvement just simply based on the survey design itself. And so that's kind of how that works for us. In terms of methodology, it's really important for me as the consultant when I have the opportunity to be here to kind of walk us through how we did things. And when it comes to statistically valid research, the how is almost more important sometimes than the results themselves when trying to legitimize or help build consensus around findings. The great thing about University City is that you all have been doing this for a few years now. It's been, I think, the third survey cycle in the last 6 years. And what we're really seeing is that city staff seem to be incorporating the results into decision making, and we're seeing some outputs from the results now through that method. In terms of the methodology, every time we conduct the survey, we make sure that the city's boundaries haven't changed or haven't changed dramatically. And then we purchase a new updated list of every single residential address within the city's boundaries. To ensure that the sampling is statistically valid and thus the results are, we'll randomly select each residential household to receive the mailed version of the survey. And then we'll conduct follow-ups within the city until reaching a specific number of surveys that we'll usually set with the contractual goal of, in this instance, it's 600. To help put that into perspective just a little bit, I have a lot of communities around that 100 to 150,000 range that do about 300 or 400 surveys. And so University City's lift on the number of completed surveys is pretty high, but the community's relatively engaged, and we've never really had any much of a problem reaching that 600 goal, even though the community might be smaller than some of our other communities where we do actually fewer surveys. As the total number of surveys increases, the overall reliability of the results increase and the margin of error decreases. And so this year, We were able to collect 604 completed surveys, which gives us a margin of error of 4%. And so because we randomly selected all the respondents, we monitored and maintained the randomness in that sample, only ensuring that the 604 survey responses in the report are from those who were randomly selected based on the address verification question. We're also making sure that the results, and if we could go to our next slide, we see that the results are not only geographically distributed across the city and the path in the method that they should be, meaning a good wide distribution of responses, but the results are also representative of the community with regards to other demographic factors. And so the last page of that survey has a number of demographic questions. As we mail out those surveys, we know they're not going to be returned in that random fashion. They're not going to be necessarily representative. Typically, our more affluent homeowners are going to be the first to respond. And so ETC Institute's job really begins once the moment the mail hits. And our job is to make sure that we're balancing not only the geographic distribution within the responses, but also that demographic distribution to make sure that we have a wide breadth of respondents. And when I say that, what I'm really looking for is to make sure that we're aligning your survey results with the most recently available census data. Sometimes that's 2020 census data. In a few years, we'll get the updated 2030, but typically we'll look at ACS data, and that's more regularly updated at least every couple of years. And so we'll look at the American Community Survey data for most communities. If we go to our next slide, we'll see just a little bit of our top findings. I already mentioned we have 604 completed surveys, margin of error is about 4%. What that means is if we were to go out and randomly select community members, complete 604 surveys that were demographically and geographically representative of the university city population, we would receive these same results plus or minus that 4%. So if 50% of people said yes to a question and 50% said no, 95 out of 100 times we would expect as researchers to see that yes and no drift between about 54% or 46%. So there's some reliability in the results, but as researchers, we want to let our audience understand that we know there's some volatility. And so that's really minimal for a community your size. And we'll see frequently margins of error hovering around 6% for communities your size, where we're able to get it down to about 4% here. In terms of some of the overall findings, I will continue to drone on like this for the next 15 minutes or so. I really hope that you take this away from this particular presentation. You're continuing to set the standard for the delivery of city services. We saw massive increases in overall perception-related items, such as rating the city as a place to live. The perceptions are remaining high, but you're also beating regional and national benchmarks. And so not only are you a high performer here regionally, but nationally, we can tell that University City kind of stands above the rest and a lot of key ratings. And we'll see that here in just a few moments. As I mentioned, there are opportunities for improvement. We bake that into the survey design. In this particular instance, and I think a few of the council members, including the mayor, have heard me say this before, the problems or the opportunities that we discovered using our important satisfaction analysis are hallmarks of high-performing organizations, organizations that are taking the survey results, responding to the areas that are maybe problematic based on the analysis, and then focusing on how do we communicate or tell our own story, or really focus on serious service level improvements in some of those areas. We saw maintenance of city streets, enforcement of city codes and ordinances, and an outlier, parks and recreation this time. Both parks and recreation and public safety services are extremely important to respondents, and we'll see that in a slide pretty late in the presentation, but the overall satisfaction is also high. Because the overall satisfaction is relatively high and the relative importance is extremely high in those items, we saw parks and recreation became a higher opportunity for improvement just by a hair. And so if folks would have rated it, just a few more people would have rated it not as a high priority for them. It probably wouldn't have been an opportunity based on this year's results. But I wanted to highlight that not as an opportunity to increase current levels of service, but an opportunity to refocus investment areas. And we'll see that towards the end of the presentation. If we go to our next slide, we'll actually skip forward one more. I want to focus on perceptions first, and what I've done with those green arrows is try to highlight significant differences. Over time, we may see more significant differences in terms of longer trend stories, but what I'm trying to illustrate here is the overall change in perceptions, the real and actual change in perceptions based on the statistical relevance of the results. We're looking at a table here that sums the positive ratings on a 5-point scale. It's the sum of the fives and the fours on a 5-point scale, excluding the don't know responses, which is how we'll typically standardize our questions for reporting. We've reported this way every year that we've conducted the survey. And the only areas that we did not see a significant increase was as a place to work and as a place to visit. But every single one of those other items, we saw a massive increase in overall satisfaction for the most part. I'm looking specifically as a place to raise children, which is very much a perceptions related item. If we go to our next slide, we'll see satisfaction with additional perceptions. And this one's fantastic. And I double starred the value received for city tax dollars and fees. And the prior slide, respondents were telling us that University City is a great place. They feel great here. In this slide, they're telling you that they're seeing the results. So we've been telling you we've had this feedback loop now 3 times in a row. It's every couple of years. You're listening and you're responding. And we are significantly more satisfied with the value of our tax dollar than we were 2 years ago. So they're actually seeing kind of the results in action, most likely within this community. We're also seeing overall feeling of safety in the city right in the middle there, spiking way up for that blue bar. And up towards the top, we also see overall quality of life in the city, which significantly increased. If we go to our next slide, I showed the geographic distribution of the responses. Each one of those small areas is called a census block group. It's one of the smallest geographic units that we can usually easily measure with the census. And each one of those census block groups had a handful of surveys within them. When we begin to distribute that across the city, and there's so many census block groups, we should always be kind of taking that with a grain of salt, but they're great indicators to tell us, is there a problem area? Are we not equitably distributing services to all areas of the community? As we can see here, the overall quality of city services is averaging out to a satisfied remark across all census block groups. It tells us that we're not missing anybody. There's no little nooks or crannies within our community that aren't seeing kind of some of those services that are being provided. Overall levels of satisfaction as they relate to perceptions remain high across the city. If we go to our next slide, we'll see some of our satisfaction with our major categories of city services. And we'll look at the trends here first. A little bit later on, we'll see the important satisfaction analysis. But two of our opportunities for improvement saw slight decreases in satisfaction. Those are not significant decreases in satisfaction. They're well within our margin of error. So there's not a true and actual difference of the population in terms of how they're perceiving those services. But what's great is the services above those all received significant changes in overall satisfaction remarks. If we go through two more slides here, we'll see a trend slide, and then we'll see some actual trends. I know this is a lot of text, but the city's done a great job, and staff specifically have done a really great job of focusing in on keeping some high-level historical trends in the survey. There were 118 questions that were assessed from both surveys, and the city saw a direct increase in overall satisfaction in 64% of those areas, or 75, I believe, out of the 118. We saw a significant increase areas that exceeded the city's margin of error, the survey's margin of error, 4%, and 32% of the total areas. I put a little note there because this type of success has been uncommon. For the most part, I've been in this trend over the last few years where I tend to come to communities and I tell them there are additional things to work on and we haven't quite seen the turn on our perceptions yet. City of University City, as well as one other community out in Colorado, seem to have been my outliers so far this year. And so we're actually providing a more positive turn of events than otherwise. We've seen a massive decrease in overall satisfaction for most suburban communities like University City really since 2020. And most of those communities have not seemed to dig their way out of that yet. And they're still seeing a downward slope in satisfaction, whereas we've seen in a lot of slides so far, University City's on the upward trajectory. If we could go to our next slide, we'll see what some of the areas that are significant increases or some of the largest increases since 2023. There's a lot of great information on this slide. I like the feeling of safety there, but I also see a lot of parks and recreation, which saw a massive increase in importance this particular year. And it turned out to be a higher opportunity for improvement, but we're still receiving really quality, high satisfaction remarks. If we go to our next slide, we'll see the few areas where we saw some decreases. This was before the snow events of the last weekend here, but snow removal is kind of that big thing, along with street cleaning that folks really seem to focus on to a degree and rate us a little bit further down on the satisfaction scale this year. If we go to our next slide, we'll see some benchmarking items, and we'll actually skip forward one more. And national and regional benchmarking is what we'll typically provide most of our clients. What we're really trying to do is help provide context. So we know from year to year, we've performed better, but are we still outperforming national and regional peers? If we go to our next slide, we'll see that the city of University City performed extremely well in the areas that aren't determined to be our higher opportunities for improvement. And that's where I was talking about earlier, where these are hallmarks of high performers. You can see that both the national and regional averages are very close to our true and actual differences here in 2025 for enforcement of city codes and ordinances, as well as the maintenance of city streets. When you see flow of traffic at 72% compared to national averages about 50 or under 40, that's a pretty good remark. That's one of those other areas that folks will commonly tell us is a problem area in their community. And we're just not seeing that here. And folks are really focused on the maintenance of your streets, not allowing the perception to kind of flow to other areas of that particular section within the survey results. If we go to our next slide, we'll see some more lists here. I wanted to provide you all with a high-level overview of the results, but I wanted to show you some of the areas where you're just performing extremely high compared to our national benchmarks. You can see overall quality of services provided 33 percentage points above the national average, all the way down to value received for city tax dollars and fees at 21 percentage points above the national average. If we go to our next slide, we'll see some more of the same. For our regional benchmarking, we see Parks and Recreation Services towards the bottom, Image of the City, Public Safety Services, and a wide variety of our really core or key city services that if we're to falter or see some below average ratings there, they could have massive implications on the perceptions of safety, on the perceptions of this being a great community to raise children. If we go two slides forward again, we'll see some opportunities. As I've mentioned, this is important satisfaction analysis. In some communities, I call this investment opportunities. In your community, these are just opportunities for us to focus on over the next couple of years. It seems like the city is investing properly in these areas, and none of these areas necessarily need an influx or a massive change in investments based on the overall results. Our two highest opportunities are code enforcement as well as the maintenance of city streets, and we see streets as the most important item on that list, followed by public safety services and then parks and recreation. I alluded to this earlier, but those are two really important services to respondents. But if we go to our next slide, we'll see that relative satisfaction, when we look at that satisfaction rank column, is really high with those particular areas, meaning overall satisfaction is extremely high. Respondents are telling us to continue to emphasize those areas as we are. The item at the top of the list is the one that stands alone. It's the highest important satisfaction rating at a 0.3729. It is the area that if we're able to make massive improvements, we should see kind of a ripple effect through the other areas of the survey, specifically perceptions or value for taxes. But we're already seeing some of those effects and when we look at the trends. And so we would again suggest as the consultants, you continue the good work and you continue the path that you're on, not adjusting for survey results here. We see the yellow item, effectiveness of communication with citizens or with residents. That's one of the areas I've highlighted in yellow. This is a little bit different of a breakdown than it is in the overall reporting, but I like folks to really kind of take a note there. Satisfaction is just towards the bottom half of this particular item when we look at the overall satisfaction rank, and it's slightly lower in overall importance, but it kind of holds steady in the middle there. And so it's one of those areas that we should continue to maintain, we should continue to focus on, but as we continue to address some of our highest priorities, communication and the availability of information to the public will have massive implications on other areas. How can the city of University City continue to tell their story? How can we continue to reiterate the work that we're doing, and where do we want to make sure that we're placing the most investments? If we go forward a couple additional slides. Oh, excuse me. I apologize. I had these maps in here. I got on a little bit of a roll there. So as I mentioned earlier, we saw some of the perception related items. This is one of our higher opportunities for improvement. But if we could go back one slide, I think we should see the quality of maintenance of city streets. As I mentioned earlier, this can be an opportunity for us to begin to pinpoint certain areas of the community that might have slightly higher levels of dissatisfaction. We do a really great job and have worked with staff and not only with University City, but within the region to try to focus on county streets versus city streets. I think that the county streets have a massive impact on the perceptions that respondents have of streets generally in the area. And I think we see some of that here in University City. But for the most part, folks are averaging out to neutral with some pockets of satisfaction. And if we move to our second highest opportunity for improvement, which is codes enforcement, in the next map here in the next slide, we see most folks are generally satisfied with small pockets of neutral. If we go to our third opportunity, which should be parks and recreation, in our next slide, we'll see that overall satisfaction is extremely high citywide. We would see that same effect if we looked at public safety or if we looked at communication with the public. Generally going to see overall large pockets of blue, which is a positive aspect. Now, if we could go forward one more slide, it should be a title, excuse me, overall quality of public safety services. I wanted to show this one as well to make sure that you all saw that overall we're equally distributing those services. Generally, respondents within University City are very excited or very satisfied, excuse me, with those particular services. All right, next slide is additional findings, and we'll actually go forward too. There's one more slide for me. Thank you so much. This is ways respondents learn about the city. Overall, about 43% of respondents indicated they've had contact with the city. And I apologize. This is actually a typo, and I really apologize about that. So this is the rating of customer satisfaction. When folks call the community, when they file a question, problem, or complaint, these are the respondents basically telling us how satisfied are you with the customer service agent that you most recently interacted with. About 43% of our respondents have had contact with the city, but the overall trend suggests that your customer service response is still very strong. It's one of the areas that we saw a slight decrease in overall satisfaction from year to year was the overall quality of customer service from city employees. But when we actually asked the respondents, the 43% who have actually visited with us, we see extremely strong ratings there, with over 50% of respondents being satisfied or very satisfied with each of the items that we were asked them to rate. If we go to our next slide, I've mentioned parks and recreation a number of times here. As I mentioned earlier, it's a continued emphasis, but maybe a shifting of priorities internally. We've asked the importance of parks and recreation initiatives across time here, and we're seeing a small decrease or increase, excuse me, in overall playground improvements, as well as park maintenance. And these are areas where folks say we should, they're supportive, or they think that those investments in those areas are very important. And so those are a couple of the trends that are potentially emerging out of Parks and Recreation. And I think staff have always done a good job incorporating the survey results into decision making, and I'm sure they'll notice this trend. In the following slide, we'll see support for a quarter cent tax increase to the current 0.25% sales tax used for fire services or for paramedic healthcare services that will help the city expand paramedic services. Generally, about 70% or 68.7% of the population said that they're generally supportive, and 31.3% are generally not supportive or neutral on that particular topic. We do a lot of tax type questions. We study this pretty frequently. Our results are generally very close to the overall averages, but we would suggest that you do, if this is going to be a larger spend by the city or you're going to try to get this on a mail-in ballot, we would always recommend you hire kind of a political consultant to potentially do a phone call, a really quick phone poll of likely voters. Please just keep in mind, this is a random sampling of the entire community and not likely voters. And I just like to draw that conclusion. We do a lot of this. The last one that I looked this up last week before I got here because I knew this question was on here, and I did one 2 years ago in Wyoming. We had 71.4% say they were supportive, and it passed 71% to 29% in the community. It was a more rural community, but I just wanted to try to illustrate that the results are often pretty close. But if the city is going to invest in that particular area, you should definitely, you know, do additional polling ahead of time just to be sure. If we could go to our next slide, we'll see a bit of a summary here. Overall, the results and the overall satisfaction remain consistently strong. It's one of the things that I've not had the pleasure of telling folks over the last number of years, really for the last 5 years. You significantly outperform national and regional averages, which is likely some of the reason why your perceptions remain high. In addition to that, you're likely serving residents equitably throughout the communities, evidenced by the map, which helps ensure that citywide we have high perceptions of the community. Satisfaction's increased in most services, which is always going to assist in some of our perception-related areas. And public safety and parks and recreation continue to be a top consistent priority for respondents, but satisfaction remains very high for those items. Maintenance of city streets, codes enforcement are high opportunities for improvement, hallmarks of higher performing organizations, very difficult items to kind of get high marks on, especially as you continually try to improve streets folks are going to be running into construction, and then that's that difficulty of perceptions again. Was the construction worth the fix, or was I more dissatisfied or more satisfied after that fix? And that can be a difficult thing kind of during the time of construction as well as post-construction in some neighborhoods. Overall, the community's trajectory remains positive. Overall, leadership has really taken into the results into decision-making, it seems. And with the leadership of a good council, mayor, and city manager, Mr. Rose, you should see continued success now and into the future, at least based on these survey results in 2025. With that, I've got a copy of the full report with me. I'll be happy to answer any questions I can. If there's something I can't get an honest and full answer to you tonight, I'll get a written response back to staff tomorrow.
Mr. Murray, thank you very much for your presentation. Are there questions from members of council? Councilmember Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Thank you for your presentation. Thanks to the city team. This seems to be a very encouraging survey results. So in the spirit of looking at areas of improvement, in terms of streets, I know that's something that this council has talked a lot about. It's a question we get from the community. Many of my colleagues have dealt with that in some form or fashion about when is this or that street going to get repaired. Communities that get higher marks in this area, what have they done? I'm assuming fix and maintain the streets is kind of the foundational thing that you need to do to be successful in this particular category. But beyond that, is there communication about what's happening with streets? Is there communication about the rating process and how that's figured out? What are communities that score high in this area doing?
Yeah, great question, council member. And as a council member in my own community, this is one of the things I hear about most frequently as well. My community is not a high performer, so I'm not going to use examples from there, but the community that we're based in, Olathe, Kansas, is an extremely high performer. A lot of the things that they've done were resident investments. So bond issues, sales tax increases, and things like that, that promoted and pushed this idea that we were all going to together increase the quality of our overall city streets. Along with that, you hit the nail on the head there, I think, in your question. It's communication. And what they've done a really great job with is not getting into the weeds in terms of some of those rating scales and where's our maintenance scores coming from, but rather they seem to just sign everything. So, hey, here's a sign upcoming next fall, your tax dollars at work. And what they're doing and what we've tried to study our best is it seems like folks really begin to understand kind of the carrot and the stick. We didn't want the taxes, but here's the carrot now, and we're actually getting the results that we see. And so they always kind of push this idea that, hey, this is the whatever year bond, this is fixing your road right now. And so this might be difficult or it might be frustrating, but this is the fruits of our labor. And beyond that, the city of Olathe does a great job of generally communicating, just like the city of University seems to. A lot of e-newsletters, and I think there's a lot of signups. And one of the other things that they've done is they've kind of embedded themselves into Nextdoor, and seems to be one of the more negative areas of social media for most communities. And they've created these community liaisons that kind of work within the neighborhood groups and can kind of help drive a more positive tune before it kind of devolves into a complaining kind of circular motion. And I think that's all of those things in concert have done a lot for them. They conduct the survey quarterly, and so they're really monitoring that particular aspect of things. And I think based on some of these results, when you look at some of your trends from prior years, you can see that the maintenance of street signs and traffic signals went up almost 15 percentage points. Landscaping appearance of public areas along streets went up, and you're well above national and regional averages on those items. And so I think there's a lot of positives there. And that's where I like to mention at the beginning, regardless of the satisfaction levels, I would have found priorities and streets would have likely been important. And so even if they were to have been 100% satisfied, it received the highest importance ranking, and it would have been, you know, we would have drawn that out as kind of an opportunity. So I really appreciate that question. It's a fantastic question for staff, especially to try to figure out what are those sweet spots in terms of communication. But I always think that it's kind of, here's what you've told us and here's what we're doing. And I think that communication feedback is important for that.
Mr. Murray, if I could follow up on Councilmember Clay's question. On page 14, You say most of the declines, this is on decreases in positive responses from 2023. Most of the declines were associated with the effectiveness of various communication channels. We have discussed communication, whether it be a strength or a weakness, for as many years as I've been on council. So I'm just curious as to the meaning of that sentence.
Yeah, on page 14 of the executive summary, is that where you're at, sir? Okay. And recommendations.
Starts at the top with largest decreases in positive responses since 2023.
Okay. Is that on my slides or in the reporting itself? I
Well, I think that
apologize.
the I think it was on your slide too. I think
Okay.
it's right before benchmarks.
Okay. I've got that in as well. Thank you. And I will get to that, Mark, and I will let you know. 14. Okay. There it is. All right. Yes. Decreases in positive responses. City has done an exceptional job increasing satisfaction with some of the most important services to residents. And then, in terms of between 2023 and 25, most of the declines were associated with the effectiveness of various communication channels. So there were some areas within the survey results that suggest that some of the communication channels may not be as effective, I believe, as they maybe once were. Again, looking at benchmarking with city communication, we're performing very well. And that might be something that I could break down a little bit further for staff instead of kind of flipping through my pages here to try to give you a
Well,
more
yeah,
comprehensive
and you know,
response.
if you could just get that back, 'cause I think we've continued to struggle over the many, many years, not necessarily recently, of just what is a better communication strategy with our citizens. And I think most of us have spent far more time on Nextdoor than we would ever like to admit, as far as the communications that go on there. So the idea of having some outreach from some of our staff members may be a good idea, but other areas for improvement there.
Yeah, and I did find that slide that I was referencing there, and I apologize, I didn't have that off the top of my head. But the Roars newsletter was rated at 77% of respondents in 2023 said it was either effective or somewhat effective on kind of a rating scale there. That dropped to 73%. So almost a significant difference, not quite, but about 3.8%. The Parks and Recreation Guide went down in its overall effectiveness as well, which may have been a reason for some of the satisfaction scores there. But also the city's website saw a slight decline. And so we saw this trend there, which I'm also having a little bit of a difficulty saying why, but then we get to Nextdoor and it was a 19 percentage point decrease in the overall effectiveness of communication on Nextdoor. And so there are some areas here to suggest that we could potentially be doing a better job, but there's other results around these that maybe suggest that they're not being used as much as maybe we would think they are.
And then on the code enforcement issue, I assume the code enforcement issue, we get folks who are complaining that we're too strict and
Bingo.
folks are saying that we are too lax.
I'm hopeful staff could help us out with that and reiterate that. That's what I hear most frequently from codes enforcement. From police chiefs, I often hear that the, visibility of police in neighborhoods is not a great remark for actual public safety. And for codes enforcement, it can be really difficult to understand, is it the too much or not enough enforcement? We ask that question quite frequently, and I did a follow-up in a community over in Colorado over the last couple of weeks, and it seems I think folks are maybe fearful to be enforced upon themselves, but it's oftentimes that situation where you maybe call on your neighbor and you're dissatisfied because they're not out of code compliance, or they're dissatisfied because they were and now they're being enforced upon. And it's that double-edged sword. You're correct, Mayor.
And my last comment, which I think my colleagues may, or they can tell me I'm wrong, but the quality of maintenance of the city streets, it looks to me like on the southern end, it's everybody who has to travel down Pershing that we're working on. Seems like that was the one that neighborhood kind of popped us there, which I think we've known about. And then out west, it looks to me like it may be the traffic from the construction of Costco and then the success of Costco. So it's kind of interesting to see the two neighborhoods who are least satisfied that there may at least be some
Very much so.
practical reality as to why that came about.
Exactly. And we would typically suggest that. And you saw one of those areas of orange was right near a kind of a highway interchange as well. And it looked like there were some county streets right there. That's a really frustrating thing if you're trying to commute in the morning. And unfortunately, as I mentioned, I think residents are sometimes unable to draw that line in their heads when they're completing the survey. And we as researchers understand that. And your staff do a great job of compartmentalizing some of those responses to make sure maybe we're not overreacting on some of those areas.
Councilmember Clay.
Thank you, Mayor. And real quick, I think with code enforcement, what I hear in full transparency, even from my wife, who we own a home in University City that we do not reside in, but is a rental property. Consistency. It, just consistency with inspection. Is it, if it's all this way, I think people are fine with that. If it's all that way, people are fine with it, but just pick one and do it every time. I think that's the feedback I've gotten.
That's probably correct.
Any other questions of Mr. Murray? Hearing none, thank you very much. Right.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you so much. Have a great meeting. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Drive safely.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor, Council Members, our next item is being presented to you by Police Chief Hampton. As you know, we continue to look at ways to improve public safety, specifically making people feel safe within University City. We recognize that we will likely not be able to recruit all of the officers that we would like. So we have to look at other options to having officers. And so Police Chief Hampton is here tonight to present to you some of his findings from his research into robotics. Chief Hampton.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Thank you, City Manager Rose. Good evening, Honorable Mayor Crow and members of the council. Privileged to be here to talk about some robotics, some technologies. Let me know if you're hearing me well as well. Okay. What I can tell you is that besides case studies, besides demonstrations, besides meetings and collaborative efforts of the technologies that are out there, it's not a lot of robotics companies that are made are manufactured here in our region. So we're reaching out to the West Coast, to the East Coast, to these aspects that we have to leverage that type of technology. What I can tell you is that the efforts continue to provide and in efforts to continue to provide effective and innovative methods for protecting our citizens, we're always looking at how can we do this smarter? How can we leverage this technology to work smarter for public safety mechanisms? Many of the devices that you're going to see tonight, this is not a rough terrain type of investment. This is not something that can fix all in residential areas, gravel, grass, mud, dirt, like what we're walking through right now specifically. But opportunity meets the preparation. We're preparing. If you can go to the next slide, Chuck, thank you. We're preparing to not only research and look into these companies and do dive head first with the technology information. We know that there's bomb handling, bomb detection. We know that there's technology like this. So when you see a device such as this, it's going to look totally different than the old school R2-D2 or the robot humanoid type of mechanisms. Flip to the next one for me, Charles. Thank you. Search and rescue capabilities. Now, with that, that's technology that is also leveraged with drones, with aerial devices, with many of our surveillance mechanisms within the air. Dar Nadari, one of our top drone operators, these are the type of technologies that we are taking, not just within the air and small investments, but moving into what is needed within our business patrols, specifically Dierbergs, Target, Costco. When you see a robot device going around mopping, scanning, checking, those are the same type of devices that can be used for surveillance, facial recognition, deterrence, security patrols. It's however, each company specializes in what they specialize. Our outcome with robotics in our community will be a result of our outlook into this technology. So not looking into it, not studying it, not just going along with the say-so is not going to get us over the top with the top technology uses of that. Flip one more time, please. more benefits of public safety. As you can see, these devices have first been deployed on the East Coast, on the West Coast, Silicon Valley, New York, NYPD. This particular device you're seeing, this is a Nightscope device, and it's so heavy that it cannot be vandalized. It cannot be tipped over, what have you. Now, do we have robots within our mechanisms right now? We do. In our components, we have throwbots. So those particular throwbots, when we're dealing with a suicide component, when we're dealing with barged in or domestic violence types of situations, say you have a active intruder, active shooter situation, these are some of the devices that we do have that's made out of titanium steel and literally has the capabilities of withstanding tons of type of pressure. Flip one more time, please. These devices, as you see, these are not cheap devices. However, they're, it's good leveraging that you have to provide with the company, meaning that they provide a leasing program. They do not provide a buyout program specifically because they want to be able to give you that customer care and that troubleshooting of the real effect. That is really where the landscape is turning with a lot of this technology, whether you're talking license plate readers, whether you're talking surveillance trailers. They want to be able to say, okay, this is not man-made error. This is on us. Let us fix this. Let us handle this from that component on. This particular device can be utilized in our business districts. It can be utilized on level ground. It can be utilized on sidewalks. Now, we're not asking for it to cross streets and what have you. Of course, being leveraged with our business patrols within those areas, whether that's the Loop Special Business District or whether that's the Olive Market Street business areas out there. Charles. This type of aspect, this is more of a futuristic component that is coming. There are companies that are investing in these type of devices. However, that the RoboCop type device is not really out and effective in public safety as we speak. There is a percentage of 15% currently being utilized within public safety. That's only 15%. But within a matter of single digit years, that percentage is expected to go upwards towards 43%. So there are leveraging that is going on. There are investings that are going on. Flip that, please, Charles. Options for exploration. Let's identify our problems within our technology uses. And that's pretty much how to start. It starts with the case study. It starts with what you have within your graphs right now. Strategic planning on that technology. Of course, not everybody is an operator of this type of technology. Sometimes this technology can be remote or virtual controlled. However, the public safety aspect of it is to be able to control it within our own components. Now, there are a lot of different options that go with that. Let's fuse this current technology let's fuse this new technology with our current technology, excuse me. So basically, the drones are enhancing as we speak. Drones, aerial drones are providing now facial recognition, body-worn cameras, facial recognition, body-worn cameras providing artificial intelligence information. However, I can tell you it has to be compatible with the compliances and the policies that we have to be governed by, specifically not just University City, but the prosecutor's office. I can tell you right now, they do not accept AI written police reports. So that is something that even those companies and those public safety jurisdictions that have invested in that type of technology apparently have a buy-in from their prosecutorial partners. It's not within the state of Missouri, and it's also not within our county as well. So we have not looked into the AI component of body-worn cameras, just to speak on that. Also going to budget. Let's pinpoint feasible options. Not every option is going to be a feasible option. There are some companies, as you saw, the RoboCop type of device. I'm sure, I don't have a price on that, but I do know it's upwards of the capability of you know, well above what I'm researching right now. Upscale and reskill with great training. So not only the operators, but the officers, the public safety employees, the fire, the EMS, to be infused with this technology within our community, understanding what they will provide, what they can provide, and what assistance or support is expected from these devices. Communicate and engage. Communicate, engage. I think we do a very decent job with that within the public safety units that we have. And what I mean by that, going to STEM projects, going to Washington University, OMSU, high schools, Brittany Woods. We've been to all of these locations with our technology, not just letting them see what a drone looks like, letting them see what a throwbot looks like, letting them understand what this technology is being used for in public safety. One thing I did want to highlight is that we have secured all funding sources available in trying to upgrade any of our technologies, any of our components for the police department. $135,000 approximately in grants has been received, whether that's been local, state, or federal. And that's just for 2025. So we try to keep track of these type of numbers and when we have. The questions and comments that I have, I'm not covering on the aspect of the study, the case study itself, because it's pretty much regurgitating many of the PowerPoints that I, the PowerPoint components and discussions that I just had. And basically, the need is there to leverage with this type of technology. The right time to invest is probably still now. And why I say that is because it's still being enhanced. However, it has been proven in larger communities in New York Police Department, LA Police Department. So it's been proven, it's still been fused, and that model can be referenced as well as copied within the smaller communities. I'm now done on this, and I will open up for any questions.
Upper Mayor and council members, I just want to express, well, first of all, let me thank Chief Hampton for his presentation. Wanted to relay that tonight's presentation was intended to introduce you to robotics. Certainly, there'll be much more research that's done on each of those areas that the chief has highlighted. We'll ensure that we get value from it before it's brought to you as a council for consideration, that it somehow elevates, I would say, our police operations. And we are hopeful will be easily integrated into our operations. So with that, I ask Mayor and Council if you have any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Councilmember Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crow, and thank you, Chief Hampton, for your presentation. You mentioned a couple of times our current use of facial recognition software, via body cams, drones, I think, and other mechanisms. Just want to confirm that we have policies in place to ensure that the software is used appropriately. We're not, you know, certainly targeting people who are just, you know, going about their business in the community, and we have very tight policies around how we use that information. Am I correct in that?
That's correct. But however, University City does not have facial recognition components and technology within our method. What around us, our surrounding communities do have some of those type of technology. So that is being infused in the state of Missouri, but also in the greater St. Louis area. But no, we do not have body worn cameras that are facial recognition, surveillance cameras that are facial recognition, drones, neither of each.
Okay. So I misheard that, which is great. So we don't use facial recognition software. That is not something that we employ.
We don't have. We don't. When you say don't use, we collaborate with other departments that may have that technology.
Okay, but we don't. Okay.
Yes.
So we don't have it within our own equipment.
Correct. Okay. That's correct.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Other questions? Councilmember Brenner.
You mentioned drones. I'm assuming we have drones.
Correct. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And any other technology that we're using right now that is more advanced?
The surveillance trailers is a very advanced device, as well as we have a throwbot. I actually brought a throwbot. Can you grab that throwbot? I have a throwbot. This throwbot is made of titanium. This is for, like I say, active intruder type of intrusion. Say we have an intrusion up here, and specifically someone is refusing to cooperate. This type of device, if you can hold, yeah, just hold it. Cool. Can be thrown. It's audio, it's video, it's all of such. And so specifically, just this small of device gets us eyes and ears within a closure, enclosure, that helps save lives, helps speed up the response time for any of the things that we're trying to do with our public safety components. And I specifically brought this up because I didn't want to demonstrate it, but either way, you got to get the point of that. Yes, ma'am. These are some of the devices that we do have. Yeah, and you can throw it however. That's made of titanium as well.
Chief, that's in addition to the standard type of items such as license plate readers.
That is correct. That is correct. License plate readers, surveillance trailers, drones, body-worn cameras, or radios are now can be infused with our body-worn cameras as well. GPS is plenty of type of devices. Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Brenner.
Thank you, Mayor. So do we all, when we think about this, like some of the maybe more expensive pieces or whatever, like the bomb that we would like the bomb disablers, things That's like right. that, things that maybe we wouldn't use very often, would we consider collaborating, or like, is there a bigger entity that maybe buys that together and that we use it together in the St. Louis County region?
We do. We do. We have mutual agreements with all of our law enforcement partners within the region. Being a member of SLAPCA, St. Louis Area Police Chiefs Association, we do have that collaborate, a mutual agreement, mutual aid agreement. I can tell you, we do have over 33 religious institutions that we have documented. So quite a bit. We do get the call for service to vet those properties, to vet those parcels, those buildings specifically, whether that's a bomb threat or whether that's simply a threat of intrusion. These are so within our very small community, 33 religious institutions kind of ranks pretty high on the list when it comes to public safety mechanisms.
Councilmember Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Burke. Thank you, Chief. Is some of this robotics or some of this concept can be shared with fire department? Yes. I was very impressed when we had the lost child
right.
for all of about a half an hour, and that was an infrared drone, that sort of thing.
Correct.
And so some of this stuff can be, I shouldn't say stuff, some of the robotic concept that we're talking about here can be shared between police and fire.
No doubt. All of public safety components for the city would be infused with any of this technology that is on hand. So, yes, it's not just a police use. It's for a city use altogether, whatever components we need to.
Is there also, and some of us have had experience in the green machine, so to speak, is there any interface with some of the concepts that the military are using? I'm particularly thinking bomb and arson
right.
from.
Well, that we have a very elaborate collaboration with the St. Louis County Bomb and Arson, with the Missouri Highway Patrol Bomb and Arson, with the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department Bomb and Arson. The bomb and arson training is at the same facility that we go for annual firearms qualification, all of our members. So there are courses that we send our members to on an annual basis. Not every officer going every year, but specifically the first responders to some of those that they're not bomb techs, and I don't want them trying devices, but oftentimes, let's say we get a mysterious package left out in front of City Hall. That technically is a bomb response until we know different. We don't know what that package came from. We check all, we leverage all surveillance cameras. We leverage all canvassing to see if we have any information as to how that was delivered, even in City Hall. even in so yes, we do collaborate with all of those efforts. Yes, sir.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Just a quick question, and I may have missed this before, but do you see robotics playing any role into the market at Olive Development? And with the with the inclusion now of Dierbergs and Target, what do you foresee in reference to robotics?
I do foresee in the near future, like I said, within single digit years, that 15% moving up to 43%, that 43% including those devices that you see in your grocery store, those devices that you see in your retail shops, that they will then take a stable point up outside on the in a parking garage and on a level lot of such. Now there are many different devices. Some of the devices I showed you tonight are just a minor number of the devices that are out there. And one thing I can tell you is that there's not many of these technology companies that are going to allow you to do a pilot program, a demonstration program. They're either wanting you to invest or not. I.e. The Dierbergs, the Schnucks of the companies, they have invested and they have a collaborative, and some of these companies that they have invested with are within my case study as well. Yes, sir.
Chief, thank you very much. What I would say, though, if I'm the chief, luck and timing are just as good as anything when you get to stand up and make a presentation when you've got an 84.4% high response rate from the citizens you serve. I'd say that's pretty good timing on your part.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, sir. I agree.
Thank you very much for a job well done.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We will adjourn for about 5 minutes. So we'll be starting right around 6:30, maybe a minute or two shy, but 6:30. Thank you.